This is the Straight Truth Podcast, biblical answers to difficult questions from a Christian worldview.
Pastor, I'm thinking about the dynamic between Paul and Timothy, writing these letters to Timothy, giving him instructions, obviously taking him along with him, being with him from his conversion onward, really, and giving him instructions throughout the New Testament. In relation to thinking about that relationship in relation to the dynamic of a pastor bridging the gap from one generation to the next generation, how does a pastor actually do that? What would be wise principles for bridging that gap, whether from one pastor to the next, or even just in just training up another generation?
Yeah, it's funny. I saw someone tweet out a message this past week on this subject, and he was complaining about how older men in the ministry, I'm going to paraphrase, but he was saying they basically stick around too long. And the result is that they're not training the next generation. And the reason they're doing that, his perspective was, because of power and influence, and they don't want to let go of their power. And obviously this is coming from a sort of a cultural point of view.
Sure.
But the idea was that they're standing in the way of these young men and the next generation of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the complaint, there's an element of truth. Definitely we're tasked by the Word of God to take the things that we've learned, pass those things on to faithful men who in turn will pass those things on to others.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no doubt there's a multi-generational training process that's to be going on. But it just got me thinking about this idea that the sort of this pipeline of leadership, and when men stay in church ministry for a long time, are they clogging the pipeline? Is that really what's going on? And so I thought about the New Testament picture, and what I see is an older man in Paul instructing younger men, Timothy, Titus. Obviously, Paul's an apostle, so we have a unique dynamic going on there. But he's giving them instruction while he himself is still engaged in the work. So it's not like Paul says, I've served my time, I'm stepping out to give space now, Timothy, for you and Titus to thrive. I mean, that's not the mindset at all. Rather, he's already put them in very strategic and important places of ministry service. So they're already serving in very important ways. In fact, Paul in 1 Timothy is exhorting Timothy not to allow people to despise his youthfulness, to disregard his leadership because he's young. So Timothy's a younger man, but already engaged in very strategic apostolic ministry in the shepherding of these young churches. Titus is going through the book of Titus, and he's tasked with appointing elders in every city. So he's engaged in very important ministry, even at a younger age. So I thought about that. It's not that, and I think about heroes of the faith. I think about R.C. Sproul leading into his later years. I think about John Piper being useful right now into his older years. I think about John MacArthur still pastoring into his 80s. I don't think the picture is older men get out of the way so younger men can step into their time and their place of service. Rather, older men, serve your days out well. Finish your course, finish your race, serve as long as you have health to do so. So you have a mind to still serve, it's still sharp. Your ability to speak is still there. Your health is still well enough that you're not in the way of effective ministry. Serve your days out well while you prepare younger men to serve well in ministry, and you have a hand in seeing those men planted into their areas of service. So that as they struggle, as they have questions, as they need encouragement, as they need wisdom, this is going on. I see places where Timothy was a great encouragement and comfort to Paul. Read the book of 2 Timothy. Mm-hmm. He's a great encouragement and comfort to his father in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
So Timothy's making an investment in Paul. But then I find places where Paul is exhorting him, as I told you on my way to Macedonia, so I'm telling you again, stay there in Ephesus. Son, it's tough, but you're necessary to correct doctrinal error there in Ephesus. You stay there. So I see this mutual encouragement, investment, love, respect, assistance. It flows both directions. And I think that's the New Testament picture for preparing the next generation of leadership, because eventually the Timothys then turn into the Pauls. Mm-hmm. They turn into the aged apostle John, you know, who's writing 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, late into his life. Mm-hmm. So it's not step out so that others can step in. It's let's all serve faithfully until our course is finished and then invest in each other's lives along the way.
Okay, so no pastoral term limits. Should a pastor ever plan to retire?
I don't think so. That's my own view. No, I don't think in terms of retirement. It's the one job, I don't like that term, but I'm going to use it. It's the one job that you actually are better if you remain faithful. Mm-hmm. The older you get, because the more knowledge you have, the more experience you have in the realm of shepherding. So I don't see retirement in place. Now, what I will say is this. When a man's abilities are diminishing and he wants to hold on, and then he can become the very thing that the person was complaining about. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a time, I'll just speak of my own life now as I'm getting older. What I never want to be is a detriment to the work of this church. And so if the time ever came that my mental ability or, you know, whatever, however I'm seeking to serve is diminished to the point that I'm not helpful, then, you know, Josh, what we're really talking about is whose preeminence are we all aiming at and serving for? Christ is preeminent. Mm-hmm. So what most glorifies God, what is best for God's people, that is what must reign in all of our decision making. So if I really love the Lord Jesus, if I really love his church, if I really love the work, then what I want is what's best for that. And so at some point, older men need to think about, have my abilities diminished to the point that I'm no longer the best choice to do what I'm doing? Mm. And if that's the case, then unselfishness has to step up and say, let me get out of the way.
Mm. What's the best case scenario for that kind of, you know, generational change?
Transition.
That transition. Yeah. What's the best case scenario?
That leaders are raised up in the local church that know that congregation. Mm-hmm. There's doctrinal continuance there, even with the second and third tier issues. That's the best thing for a church, that it just continues along that course. And so as a church is faithful, gifted men are raised up. Mm-hmm. And so what you really want is a man younger than yourself, but has walked through the fires of that ministry's challenges. The people know that person. He knows the people. That's the best case scenario. Mm. And then so you just sort of just pass the baton.
That's right.
You know, you just pass the baton to the next guy. And that's what would most rejoice my heart as I think about even here at Founders. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I have served together now for over a decade. That's what I would long for if the time comes, when the time comes, that that I step out of the way.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Straight Truth Podcast. Now, Straight Truth is listener supported. So if you'd like to find out ways how you can help us to continue to produce this podcast, you can go to our website and find out ways to do that, straighttruth.net. At that website, you'll also find links to all of our previous episodes and our social media channels. So be sure to check it out. Straight Truth is a production of Walking in Grace Ministries, the preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Caldwell. For more information, go to walkingingrace.org. We'll be right back.